This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Lay your head down on my shoulder, don't hold it in your hands. Tell me all your troubles and I'll try to understand. I know your heart's still tender and I know that it still hurts. But things can only get better when it seems they can't get any worse. Hold on to me, I won't let you go. You'll be okay, so hold on.
Hi there, you're listening to the Fighting Stigma Show here on Free FM 89.0. Tuinareo o Te Hapori, and also on Raglan Community Radio, Aero FM, Otago Access Radio, and Radio Kid Nepas. I'm your host, Haisa, and today, in a very ADHD fashion, we're going to be talking about Neurodiversity Awareness Week, which was last week. And I totally forgot, although I had this entire radio show planned. All the resources and information I needed was ready, but I completely missed out on Neurodiversity Awareness Week, which was last week. So I decided it was still important to share all the information I will share in a few moments. So here I am on the special Neurodiversity Awareness Week show. For that, but first a shout out to our sponsor, Progress to Health.
Progress to Health believes in creating communities without barriers, and to achieve that we tailor supports to adults experiencing mental health and or disabilities based on their goals to encourage recovery, independence and community involvement. Progress to Health has teams that provide peer support, recovery education, workshops, employment preparation and support, including navigation with other services. Service users are allocated a community support facilitator on referral depending on their goals to mental recovery and achievement. We have offices in Hamilton, Tokoroa and New Plymouth. So if that sounds like something you or someone you know might be interested in and you are in the Waikato DHB region, Taranaki or Taupō, then have a listen to this ad I'm about to play for Progress to Health and get in touch with us.
At Progress to Health, we provide a range of support for those who have experienced mental illness. People who have dealt with mental illness and associated disabilities are supported holistically to maximise their potential. We want to empower your journey to recovery. Check out our website, www.progresstohealth.org.nz, or call us free on 0800 77 57 57.
Okay. Last week was Neurodiversity Awareness Week, and I totally missed out on that because I've been busy and my ADHD, but I've had all the information for this show ready, and I think it's very important I still share it. So today we aren't just talking awareness, we are talking about scientific evidence. As of this week, FICAHA, the Ministry of Disabled People, confirms that about 1 in 6 New Zealanders are disabled. Within that, neurodivergency is a massive portion. A 2026 FICAHA update highlights that for the first time, our government is moving away from the medical model of fixing people. The New Zealand Disability Strategy 2026 to 2030 was launched just 100 days ago or so. Its core principle, enabling good lives. Have you heard of enabling good lives? If you haven't, go have a look. It is the first strategy to explicitly prioritize neuro-affirming healthcare, acknowledging that we don't need to be cured. We need barriers removed. Let's talk about a revolution in New Zealand healthcare. On February 1st, 2026 this year, the Ministry of Health officially expanded the ADHD prescribing rules. Previously, you could only start ADHD medication through a psychiatrist, and we all know how expensive, time-consuming, and challenging it is to get a specialist psychiatrist to diagnose ADHD and autism. So now, vocationally registered GPs, general practitioners, and nurse practitioners can diagnose and start treatment for adults. And it's important, it's only for adults. So it's important to reiterate here the fact that it's not just any doctor or nurse practitioner that can diagnose and prescribe ADHD for adults. They need to be registered, vocationally registered, and they have to do specific training for that. And I know it's been 6 weeks since that has been enabled, but there hasn't been many new doctors or nurse practitioners that became able to do this because so many reasons. Maybe too busy, maybe, you know, some other business reasons. But okay, back to the information I gathered. So a 2025 Health New Zealand review found that the treatment gap was causing a mental health crisis. By moving this to primary care, we are finally acknowledging that ADHD is a common health reality, affecting roughly 2.9% to 4% of our population. ADHD is not just being hyper. It is a fundamental difference in dopamine processing. And I need to add, there has been some really good recent MRI imaging studies done with ADHD that shows that potentially ADHD are actually three different conditions that affect the brain in different ways. And that may explain the complexities and how it shows differently for people and why certain patients respond better to certain medications or to medications in general and others don't. But I will go more into that in another show. So ADHD, it's a dopamine processing difference. Time blindness is a measurable executive function difference. It's not a character flaw. It is a brain that literally doesn't perceive the buffer between now and later. But this strength in this, when supported, ADHD brains excel in divergent thinking, the ability to generate multiple solutions to a single problem. And I mentioned here in the show before that, you know, in the age of AI and how AI is developing so quickly, and there's a lot of fear that AI is going to take over a lot of the jobs out there. Well, as it is now, the evidence suggests that AI can easily copy neurotypical way of thinking, but it cannot, I repeat this, it cannot copy how a neurodivergent brain functions.
Now let's talk about Takiwatanga, or autism. The University of Canterbury launched Aotearoa's first Autism Research Centre last year. Their Spring 2025 report highlights that when we focus on early neuroaffirming support instead of behavioural correction, child health-related quality of life increases and parental distress drops significantly. This is the most important evidence I can give you today. Now, have you heard of AUDHD? So AUDHD is the new term for people that have both autism and ADHD. So the reality of AUDHD, studies from the University of Otago 2025 confirmed that 50% to 70% of autistic people also meet the criteria for ADHD. That's a huge number, and I'm in the statistics. I have both ADHD and autism. So that creates a whole different level of symptoms and how it presents. And the fact that I'm female makes it even more different, and the fact that I'm in my 40s makes it even more different. But I'll go into details later on and potentially another show. Now, the science, this creates an additive challenge, like I said. One part of the brain craves the security of autistic sameness, while the other part is driven by ADHD novelty. It's like that idea of, you know, back in the days in the cartoon, you would have a little angel sitting on your left shoulder and the little devil on the right shoulder. It's how it feels to have both autism and ADHD. It's like you're constantly in contrast and opposites. It's a constant internal tug of war. If you feel like a walking contradiction, the science says you are normal. If you have both conditions, autism and ADHD, that feeling you have, it's normal. Neurodiversity is a massive umbrella, and we have to talk about the harder evidence. How many conditions or diagnoses or brain differences can you list as neurodiversity? Just think about it for a few seconds and see how many you can list. So just to make it easier for you, neurodiversity is literally means any difference in brain functioning. And now it's also been included acquired neurodiversity. This includes things like traumatic brain injuries, TBIs, brain changes from long-term mental conditions as well. At the end of the show, I'll be listing an almost complete list of neurodiversity conditions or diagnoses. But for now, it includes dyslexia, dyscalculia, dyspraxia, Tourette syndrome, fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. Now, a landmark University of Otago study from November 2025 found that young people with neurodevelopmental conditions faces substantial and preventable health inequalities. They found mortality risk was significantly higher, particularly for females. That's right. Why am I telling you this? It's not to scare you. It's to prove that stigma is a health hazard. When we don't believe people or we force them to mask, it has physical consequences. As a peer worker, I see the toll of masking every day in my job. The 2026 Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission report, Te Hiringa Mahara, released just last month, shows that people who interact with mental health services face significantly greater barriers to well-being. The report explicitly lists peer and cultural workforces as the key to closing this gap. That's why we are here on Free FM, because lived experience is the best medicine for stigma, and that's what we do at Progress to Health. The evidence is in. You aren't broken. You are a vital part of the Waikato and the New Zealand Aotearoa diversity. Now I'm just going to reiterate some of the evidence I shared here, and this will be also listed on our social media posts for this episode. So legislative and system evidence in New Zealand. So the ADHD prescribing reform from February 1st, 2026. The source is Minister of Health Faikaha. And the change, vocational GPs and nurse practitioners can now diagnose and initiate stimulant medication for ADHD adults without a psychiatrist's special authority sign-off. The evidence, driven by 2025 Health New Zealand Review, which identified that only 0.6% of adults were receiving treatment despite a 2.6% plus prevalence rate, leading to a preventable mental health crisis, as well as the New Zealand Disability Strategy from 2026 to 2032, the core principle being Enabling Good Lives, or EGL, the focus, the first government strategy to explicitly prioritize neuroaffirming care, moving away from behavioral modification, fixing the person, toward environmental adaptation, fixing the system. The clinical research and evidence that AUDHD overlap from University of Otago 2025. This stat, 50 to 70% of autistic individuals also meet criteria for ADHD. So that's 50 to 70% of autistic individuals also meeting clinical criteria for ADHD. That's huge. The science, genetic and neuroimaging studies show high co-occurrence. They share executive function challenges in inhibitory control, so they're stopping a response, and set shifting, moving between tasks. The health inequalities from the University of Otago, November 2025. The finding, neurodivergent youth, autism, ADHD, and fetal alcohol syndrome disorder face substantial and preventable health inequalities. The risk, mortality risks were found to be significantly higher for this group, particularly for females, due to diagnostics overshadowing, doctors blaming the physical symptoms on anxiety or behavior, for example. Next, the Autism Research Centre, Aotearoa New Zealand, RRC. The source, launched at the University of Canterbury, August 2025. The key study found that neuroaffirming support, which validates a person's sensory needs, results in a 40% increase in long-term mental health stability compared to traditional compliance-based therapies. Next, mental health and workforce data. The cost of masking from Te Heringa Mahara, February 2026. The source, Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission monitoring report. The evidence, masking, which is suppressing neurodivergent traits to fit in, is the number one predictor of suicidality, which is suicidal, and burnout in neurodivergent adults. That's huge. Masking is the number one predictor of neurodivergent individuals committing suicide and burnout in neurodivergent adults. Peer support. The report explicitly lists the peer workforce, mental health workers with lived experience, such as myself and most of the Progress to Health support workers or peer workers, as the most effective tool for reducing this specific type of distress. In Workplace Productivity, New Zealand Diversity Study from 2025, the evidence, teams with neurodiverse representation are 30% more productive in problem-solving tasks due to cognitive diversity. That's amazing. And lastly, the Te Ao Māori and the broad umbrella. So Take Watanga means autism, which is translated to in his own or her own time and space. The word for dyslexia is tapaupau kupu, words out of sequence. That's what it means. The umbrella prevalence, dyslexia is prevalent in 10% of the New Zealand population. ADHD, at least 3 to 5% of New Zealand population. Autism, 1 to 2% of the New Zealand population. And fetal alcohol syndrome disorder, estimated up to 3 to 5% of births and often underdiagnosed. The neurodiversity umbrella is broad and evolving. In 2026 clinical and community landscape, conditions are generally categorized into innate or born with and acquired, developed through life events. Here is the comprehensive list of conditions currently recognized under the neurodiversity umbrella, and when appropriate and available, I'll also use the Te Reo Māori name for them. So innate neurodivergence from birth, autism spectrum, which is Take Watanga, ADHD, Aroreretini, dyslexia or Tapaupau Kupu, dyspraxia, or DCD, dyscalculia, dysgraphia, Tourette syndrome, fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, FASD, intellectual disabilities, giftedness or high ability, which used to be called genius, and Down syndrome, which is literally a variation in a chromosomal combination that results in a complete different neurotype with unique cognitive and social strength. Now, acquired or overlapping neurodivergency. These are conditions that change the way a brain functions over time, which many advocates now include to be included under the neurodiversity lens. So those are traumatic brain injury or TBI, which is the changes to brain function caused by external force or an accident, very common in New Zealand. Mental health conditions such as long-term experiences like OCD, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and complex PTSD are increasingly viewed as neurodivergent states of being. Epilepsy, a neurological condition involving recurring seizures that significantly impacts cognitive processing, in neurodegenerative conditions such as Alzheimer's and dementia, which represent a shift in a previously neurotypical or neurodivergent brain. Also included, sensory and processing variations. Sometimes these are standalone and sometimes they are features of the conditions above. So synesthesia, when senses overlap, such as seeing sounds or tasting words. Eland syndrome, a visual processing difference where the brain struggles to process specific wavelengths of light. Auditory processing disorder, or APD, when the ear hears perfectly but the brain struggles to interpret the sounds correctly. And misophonia, an extreme sensitivity to specific sounds like chewing or tapping. Sometimes a conversation can make all the difference. I'm about to play a list of support lines. Grab a pen and paper so you can jot them down and have them ready if you ever need them.
So the first support line that I want to give you is 1737. Now, that's pretty much what it's called, so Need to Talk, 1737. It's a free call or text service, and it's available 24/7, so 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you'll get to talk or text with a trained counsellor, and this service is completely free. So if you're feeling anxious or run down, depressed, needing to talk to someone, give them a call or give them a text, 1737. The next number I want to give you is the Crisis Assessment Team, or CAT team, and their number is 0800 50 50 50. So that's assistance for people who are in crisis in the Waikato DHB region. So they're a crisis assessment team, they're part of the community mental health, so they are kind of like right up there with when things are going really, really wrong. It's very urgent care is needed around mental health. So that number again is 0800 50 50 50. The next number I want to give you is Lifeline. So Lifeline is an amazing service. It's a 24-hour telephone support service available for anyone needing emotional support. So 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now their number is 0800 543 354. And they have trained counsellors and just amazing people that you can have a talk to no matter what time of day it is. The next number I want to give you is the Depression Helpline. Now, the Depression Helpline is related to depression.org.nz. You may have seen some of their ads around, like the with John Kirwan. They have a whole lot of videos on the online service, but this is the phone line service. So Depression Helpline, 0800 111 757. Now, they're there if you just have someone, you need someone safe to talk to. They're available from 8 a.m. in the morning to midnight. And they're a really great service, just someone calm and like gentle to talk to about whatever's going on for you. Now, the next number I've got for you is not a mental health support line. It's actually the health line. So it's health information service for all the family, and it's staffed by registered nurses who will give information and advice. I have used this line. It's for general health, medical health, physical health, and it's really amazing because sometimes when things are going wrong with your body, you don't know what's happening, you're not sure if we need to go the ambulance route or you need to go to the hospital. They're trained nurses, so they will actually ask you a bunch of questions. You can answer them, and they'll let you know what you need to do, and it's a huge relief. So the Healthline number is 0800 611 116, and that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The next number I want to give you is the Suicide Prevention Helpline. Now, this is support, information and resources to people who are at risk of suicide and or the family of family or whānau and friends supporting them. Now, it's available from midday to midnight, and their number is 0508 Tautoko, which is 0508 828 865. Now, the next number I want to give you is the Shine Confidential Helpline. And the Shine Confidential Helpline specialises in domestic violence to help keep people safe from abuse. So their number is 0508 744 633. And the last number that I want to give you is I want to give you the Outline. Now, this is a Gay and Lesbian Outline New Zealand. So it's support for people, gay and lesbian people, who want to have someone to talk to about whatever's going on around that, because quite often we need a bit of extra support, and when you're not getting that support, that can definitely lead to mental health stuff. So this is a really great line. So the Outline, their number is 0800 688 5463.
I just want to end today's show by talking about neurodivergencies and disability. Are neurodivergencies considered disability? And the answer, in short, is it really depends. Having a neurodivergency or ADHD, autism, doesn't immediately qualify as disability. What creates a disability is the wrong environment. It's not the person that has a disability. It's the environment that is created around a person that is not inclusive and creates a disability for that person in the environment. That's it for today. Take care, and I'll catch you next week on Fighting Stigma Show right here on Free FM 89.0.
At Progress to Health, we provide a range of support for those who have experienced mental illness. People who have dealt with mental illness and associated disabilities are supported holistically to maximise their potential. We want to empower your journey to recovery. Check out our website, www.progresstohealth.org.nz, or call us free on 0800 77 57 57.
Lay your head down on my shoulder, don't hold it in your hands. Tell me all your troubles and I'll try to understand. I know your heart's still tender and I know that it still hurts. But things can only get better when it seems they can't get any worse. Hold on to me, I won't let you go. You'll be okay, so hold on.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.